Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life. Welcome to today's episode. Today we are going to be talking about renting versus buying. Do you rent? Do you own a home? What's the difference? Why would you choose one over the other? That's what we're going to be talking about today. The difference in the cost, the difference in the opportunity, and the difference in how it would potentially impact your life. Now, for me personally, I always go back to thinking about why. And it's highly subjective, the way I make my decisions. So Mindy, where are we starting?
So for me, when I'm thinking about do I rent or do I buy, and trust me, we get asked this question a lot, especially with first-time home buyers looking to enter the market. My brain, my thought process goes straight to costs. So part of the conversation in the beginning is, what is my mortgage payment going to look like? Obviously, a mortgage payment is a big part of a home ownership cost, but it's broken into two components. You have the principal and the interest. And the principal component is actually going back into your pocket. That is equity that you're building up in your home.
So kind of like a forced savings.
Forced savings, yes. You are being forced to save that equity versus the interest, which is the cost. With renting, you have your one monthly rent payment. That can be an all-inclusive payment that would include things like electricity, heat, cable and internet, or it can just be a base rent, and then you would still be getting those electrical bills or gas bills, just like the owner would.
So it sounds like they're, kind of comparable, but is there anything else when it comes to home ownership?
Of course, there's costs that wouldn't be attributed to. Big thing that people think about too, property taxes, right? So as a renter, you don't typically pay the property taxes, but you do as the homeowner. You've got the condo fees if you're living in some sort of a strata development. So the owner pays the condo fees, typically the renter does not. And then big sort of when we're looking at property acquisition or decision point, should I rent, should I buy? What is the biggest barrier to entry?
Down payment.
Down payment.
Right. So you contrast a down payment in a home ownership scenario versus paying your deposit when you're signing a lease.
It's typically like half a month's rent, right?
Typically half a month's rent. And you can squeeze a little bit extra out if you have a pet. You can do a little bit extra for a pet deposit.
Okay. So like maybe a full month?
Yeah. Say a full month's rent.
Okay. So the cost of getting into a rental is fairly minimal. It's just basically another month's rent.
Absolutely.
What about a mortgage? I think we've talked a little bit about this.
So your minimum down payment on a mortgage is going to be 5% on the first $500,000 on that purchase price, and then 10% anything above that. So it can be a pretty massive requirement dollar amount and constitutes probably the biggest barrier in getting into home ownership.
Right. What about someone that's getting into their first home that's over $1 million? That down payment's got to be even bigger. It's got to be 20% or more.
Yeah,
it does. And that $1 million question would have been sort of an outlier even 3 years ago. But now, if you look at the average price of a home in the Okanagan, on the island, the Lower Mainland, BC, Canada-wide, it is approaching that $1 million mark.
Right. We're seeing those properties a lot more often.
And you'll probably hear a term like sliding scale. So when you get up to $1 million, even $750,000, you know, your minimum down payment goes up, right? Over $1 million, you're looking at 20% on the first $750,000 to $1 million, and then 50% of any dollar amount over that. So
right. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that cost of entry is quite high.
Absolutely. It's a big barrier. So again, when we're a recent application scenario, actually, where we had a first-time home buyer and their income did qualify them to purchase a property. However, they just didn't have that down payment that was needed to become a homeowner.
Now we can look at stuff like there's a government incentive, a home buyer incentive through the Canadian government, where they can pitch in essentially up to 5%, 5 to 10%.
Yeah, depending on the home type, whether it's new or not.
But you do still have to have a minimum down payment of 5% from your own funds in order for the government to match that.
Right. And it's just a shared equity program. Basically means that the government's going to put in, then when you sell the home, they're going to take their money out as well.
Kind of like a co-signer, only yeah. It's the government.
There is one other barrier in British Columbia that I just quickly want to mention, another cost associated with purchasing here, and that's a property transfer tax, 1% on the first $200,000, 2% thereafter. And I think there's another tier.
Yeah, there's another tier above $3
million. Above $3 million. And that amount cannot be incorporated into your mortgage. It does have to come from your personal savings.
So as a first-time home buyer, and we are seeing this more and more where first-time home buyers come in and either they don't qualify for enough or they don't have the down payment, it's getting harder to get into home ownership. So if you have an opportunity to get in, if you've got support from your parents or support in any other way, then it comes back to the time being right now. The time being now as the best opportunity for you to get into the market because it's only increasing.
It is. It's Pete's the escalator on a yo-yo. We talked about that with rates or with prices. It's the same thing. I mean, real estate is forever going to go up in value. There's going to be dips along the way. There's going to be some sort of deviations from normal, but land is limited. We're growing. There's more and more of us.
So subjectively, if you're looking at why would you rent versus buy over and above the cost, what are some of the reasons that somebody would want to rent instead of purchasing a property or vice versa?
Yes. So there's an ease of entry. And there's, especially in British Columbia, there's very little in terms of rental increases that could occur. So when your lease is up, the landlord could increase your rent by about 1.5% is the legislation. So
in BC.
Yeah, in BC. So typically your rental payment will not go up too much. Whereas if you're under something like a variable rate mortgage, you might see some movement. You'll also potentially see movement with your utilities if you use your water a lot, or potentially with your property taxes if your municipality chooses to undertake more road work or put in a community center.
That's a really good point, Pete. Actually, one of our first episodes, we were looking at the fact that the assessed value of homes went up by 30%. We have yet to see how that's going to affect our property taxes for this year.
Right.
Speaking of BC legislation and seeing limited increases in your rental payment, that goes to the Tenancy Act in BC being more in favor for tenants than for landlords. So here in BC, that could be something that might sway you to be a tenant versus being a landlord. And is that the legislation here is more in your favor that way?
Absolutely. I think another point that Pete had brought up actually in our sort of quasi-planning of this episode earlier, as a renter, you do not have that maintenance responsibility or costs associated with repairs and maintenance. If you're, you know, put a load of dishes in the dishwasher and all of a sudden the dishwasher goes, well, guess what? You just have to call your landlord and it becomes their issue to deal with.
Right. So you are fairly fixed on in terms of your monthly costs as a renter. A little bit more potential movement on the home ownership side. But I think one of the big things with the home ownership is the potential for seeing property values increase and benefiting from that. And like we said before, as Mindy said, that forced savings of the principal being paid down also leads to that gap and that increasing property ownership component.
So increasing property value, decreasing principal balance leaves you with a higher equity amount.
A bigger asset.
Another aspect that people have gotten into, and I've seen a few times over the years, is the rent-to-own scenario, where you know you sign a lease with your landlord, and then part of your rent payments actually go towards building that down payment internally. Have you guys seen rent-to-own scenarios?
I have. I have one on my desk right now. I know that actually in chatting with you about the file, you had mentioned that it was really important to have that rent to own purchase and sale agreement done by a lawyer, correct?
And, correct. Yeah, you really need to have it specific and dialed in and registered properly.
Registered on title.
Registered on title. Because a lot of lenders, if they will do the financing based on the rent to own contract, it has to be done properly.
Right. And there also needs to be a special account set up, a bank account set up, so that any amounts that are going towards the deposit or that eventual down payment are correctly accounted for within that account. So lots to think about on those rent to owns. Make sure they're done right, but they can be done.
So this is a giant rabbit hole. This topic, rent versus buy, what's right for you, what's right for your life. And as mortgage brokers, we always err to the side of buying as a great investment for your future. And if you have the opportunity to do it, now is the time.
Right. And if you have questions, contact your mortgage professional. We have tools at our disposal, like rent versus buy calculators, where we can calculate out various scenarios. We can look at putting in fixed versus variable rates. We can look at various rent increases and at least give you some numbers to look at and then go over some of the subjective things too.
Yeah, ultimately, it is a personal decision. But just again, going back to the costs, keep in mind, yes, we have real estate values have gone up dramatically. That is ultimately going to be translated into increased rental rates in the coming years. So
it's the time for the conversation and definitely time to educate yourself on both sides.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.